Welcome everyone to the episode 3 of the Junkcast. I'm your host, Thomas Bessie, and with me today is who's been labeled by Shao Kahn as his favorite bitch of all time. I just like to think of as my co-host, Garrett Estrada. How you been, man?
I've been serving the Dark Lord quite well, so thank you very much.
Alright, so we'll start off how we do this every week is what you've been playing, what you've been doing, how you been?
Right.
Start off with you. What you been playing, Garrett?
Start off with me? I feel so special.
Well, no, because we do that every week, so...
I know, but I still feel special. I can feel special. I have been playing an ungodly amount of Mortal Kombat, like I know you have.
Yes, Mortal Kombat came out last week.
Yes.
One of the top three games.
Yes. Oh, God. It has been an unbelievable week of just nothing but Mortal Kombat. I want to talk about Mortal Kombat for a little bit here, because I know you've been putting some serious time into Mortal Kombat, and...
Yeah, beat the single player.
I know. I'm getting close.
You're getting very, very close.
You were watching me earlier. I'm in the last two chapters of the campaign now. Of what I have to say is a really good story mode.
Surprisingly, compared to like most fighting games where all they do is like arcade mode, you get to the boss dies, and you're like, ha!
Right.
Ha, 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 ha.
And then if it's like a Tekken or something like that, you get a little CG animated scene that doesn't have anything to do.
Which this game still has.
Well, yeah, like kind of comic book style. But even then, they still tell an interesting little thing of what happens with that character if that person won the Mortal Kombat tournament.
Yeah.
I'm talking like back in Tekken or what else, the Dead or Alive games, when you would beat the arcade mode, you would just get some random little CG that was made for that character that has nothing to do with any sort of story.
No.
It just is kind of like, hey, look, here's a little prize.
Well, I know you haven't played the arcade mode a lot in this one, but once you, some of them actually tie in together.
I've played a decent amount of the arcade mode.
Have you beat Jax or Kano?
I beat Kano.
Oh, you've beaten Kano?
Yeah.
So Jax's ending is where he traps Kano in the...
Spoilers. It's just the arcade mode. It's not the main story mode. So
yeah.
These are just a couple of comic book panels afterwards when you beat the arcade mode.
But yeah, so it ends with Jack trapping Kano. And then once you beat Kano, you find out that Kano escaped
of
that imprisonment. And then he's on the tanks and he's doing a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah, the Kano ending was nuts. Probably.
Some of those are downright funny. All of them are pretty serious. And a lot of them are lame.
Yeah, but that's just the arcade mode. I don't want to get talking too much about those endings because I wanted to talk more about the story mode. And just that it's got a fully featured, fully voiced animated cutscenes that tie right into each battle, and each battle feels like it's significant in the story. Like each,
yeah.
Like it's not. Well, there's a couple of times when it's just like, all right, fight him, then fight him, then fight him. But for the most part, the game does a really good job.
I noticed it's a lot less of a tournament feeling than more of, hey, this is a story.
It feels like yeah, how it would be told in like a movie or something like that over the course of a couple of games.
I saw the big fondness of the Mortal Kombat movie, the very first one.
Yeah. Yeah, I watched it not that long ago. It was actually pretty enjoyable. It was the first time I had ever seen it. Yeah. And it was, I mean, it's not great, per se.
No.
But it's a little cheesy. But yeah, but like it actually does really good by the Mortal Kombat lore. Like it has a lot of the characters doing a lot of, like, I don't know, it just did good by me as a fan of the franchise. And I've been playing these since Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo.
What do you think about the gameplay? Compared to the past Mortal Kombats?
Well, I liked Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe, even though I was disappointed in the lack of fatalities and everything, and because like I'm a big violence person, and Mortal Kombat...
They had some sort of fatalities, right?
Well, they had fatalities and they had brutalities, but they were really like toned down. Like, nobody was getting their arms ripped off or anything.
Oh,
it was more like... It was more like you were getting knocked unconscious, or like...
Okay.
Yeah, because like, they didn't want to have like Superman ripping people in half and things like that, because that's not how they, you know, that would destroy...
Superman doesn't do that.
Exactly, exactly. So DC didn't want to have that done to... have their characters do that, and have that done to their characters. So that was a T-rated game. But this game seems like it tries to make up for that, like, tenfold with the most gore and blood I've seen since God of War 3.
A lot of their fatalities are pretty brutal. Quan Chi's brutality is, he rips a guy's leg off, and then beats a guy to death with his own leg. And he doesn't stop. The fatality thing keeps going, and he just keeps whamming on him with his own leg.
I haven't unlocked Quan Chi yet, but...
That's what he does.
I'm trying to think. No, by far, in my opinion, the most brutal is Striker's first fatality. With the gun... Literally, yeah. He just tases a guy, or a girl, whoever you're fighting, just tases them, so they kind of get a little bit of a shock, and that's not too bad. But then he just whips out his pistol and points it right at their face with point-blank range and just blows their head off.
Yep.
And, like, after they fall down, the whole top of their head is gone, but you can still see their tongue and the bottom part of their jaw still connected to their neck. And it's just like, maybe it's because it's more realistic than some of the other fatalities and more feasible. Like,
there's
in
a couple
imagination.
Of them that are like, bleh. Like, I don't like any of Kratos's. Which is a little disappointing.
Oh, I like Kratos' fatality.
Both of them?
I haven't seen the second one yet.
Oh.
But the first one with the sword?
Yeah, they're pretty mild. Compared to, like, Kratos.
He cuts half of a dude in half.
This is, like, more vicious than brutal.
It's I mean,
like,
but
you like God of War 3, where he's just, like, constantly wailing on people.
Well, yeah, yeah, in God of War 3. But some of the parts in God of War 3 were just, like, almost uncomfortable. Like, I'd rather prefer it to be kind of, like, that childish kind of, like, everyone's losing arms and legs and getting cut in half. Because, like, stuff like just blowing people's head off.
I like you think people getting cut in half and blowing up is childish.
Well, yeah, because it's, like, it's done so extravagantly that it's not any sort of, like, realistic. But in terms of strikers, like, that one I almost found kind of disturbing. Like, I almost, like, feel uncomfortable doing it.
Yeah, I'd rather... pretty good.
I guess you're just fucked in the head.
Yeah, I'm pretty fucked in the head. But gameplay, I want to get back to gameplay. Do you think it's more accessible to...
I think it's really accessible. Like I've played a couple of different fighting games recently. Like, I got kind of big into Blaze Blue.
You did not get that big into Blaze Blue.
I got a little bit. Like, I played it, which was, like, more than any other fighting game, I could say.
That's true.
Like, I played it for a decent amount. And played a little bit online. And, like, those kind of games require just so much knowledge and so much intense focus. And, like I was looking up at strategies for those kind of games, and it was, like, down to the frame counts per character. It's like, oh, this combo takes 10 frames versus 8 frames. And I'm like, that's too much intensity. Like, that's... And, like, I don't feel like I'm alone in that. People who are just trying to pick up a fun fighting game can't really get into that. And, again, I tried Street Fighter 4 when it came out. And, again, being not a Street Fighter person growing up, I couldn't really get a handle on the controls. I never really felt comfortable with it.
Not too comfortable with the down angles.
Yeah, like a lot of the angles and things like that with the analog sticks and things like that. I couldn't really figure out too well. But Mortal Kombat, while it does have a deep fighting system and makes for some really complex gameplay, it still is very accessible. Every special move is either 2 or 3 button presses on the D-pad, and it's not like any sort of angles. It's either downs, backs, or ups.
Right.
Or forwards. Like, it's like down, forward, square,
so
or
pretty
forward,
much
back.
Anyone can
back,
get into it, but to be really well, you need all the other stuff.
Yeah, well, the cool thing is it's not hard to do any particular move. It's what's hard is finding the timings and finding the right times to use those moves. So it's like, you can go in and start throwing special moves and x-ray moves and things like that all over the place. Like, the x-ray is probably the easiest move to pull off. You just push 2 buttons at the same time.
Yep, that's, but, like, compared to other supers where you have to do, like, Corsair 4, just punch.
Right, because the thing is, when I've fought all fight and I want to build up a bar to use my special move, I don't want to have to worry about, am I going to fail at doing the special move. Like, I never worry about that with the x-ray. It does it. It's just whether or not are they blocking, whether or not I'm in the right position to pull that off, whether or not it's the right time in the fight to use it, or should I save it for the next round. Like, it just feels like a really good blend of, like, complexity. And, I mean, some tournament fighters or something like that, people coming from Street Fighter might find it maybe a little too simple or something like that, but it's still all the same, like, really satisfying gameplay and things like that. And every hit seems really, like, impactful, and, like, it really hurts.
So, you would recommend it?
Oh, easily. Like, it's probably... I would say it's my favorite game of the year so far. Like, I know I've played... I was
all the games that came out this year, but... Yeah,
I mean, like, I haven't played all the games that came out. I missed Dead Space, I missed Bulletstorm, and I haven't played Crysis yet. I mean, I don't have that much money or time. But the games I have played, like, I did really enjoy Killzone. And I was really into Killzone. And Portal 2, which we can talk about a little bit, I guess, in a minute. I don't want to say too much about Portal because people kind of know what to expect with Portal.
Well, but, we won't spoil the story, but we'll talk about the gameplay.
Okay. Yeah, because, like, I really liked Portals.
You just want to hop on that right now?
Not just yet. I have a little bit more I want to say about Mortal Kombat.
All right.
I will say I really enjoyed Portal. And I haven't got to hop into the co-op yet because you're being a little bitch. about trophies. So, no, I'm not...
You want to talk about Mortal Kombat, let's talk about Mortal Kombat.
Okay, okay, I'll bitch at you a little bit later when we talk about Portal and you being a little bitch. So, but yeah, just like, I don't know, like, there was something about Mortal Kombat that every time I put down the controller and turned it off, or every time I had to go somewhere and stop playing, my immediate thought was, I want to play more Mortal Kombat. Like, and like, when I'd come home, I'd be like, I'm going to turn on my PlayStation and put in Mortal Kombat and play that. Like, I haven't had that craving to play a game and that, like, longing to play it again once I put the controller down in a little while. Like, and it happened a little bit with Killzone. What?
No, just, that's how I play every game.
See, like, a lot of games, it doesn't really affect me like that. Like, I can kind of sit down, pick up a game and play it, and when I put it down, I can just put it down. Like, you've noticed that with me. Like I can, I picked up Bioshock 2, like, 2 months ago or something like that, and I kind of picked it up. I hit a little spot where I got stuck because there was, like, some sort of glitch, and I'm sure if I reloaded my save, it would be fine. But I just kind of put it down. I'm like, okay.
You didn't beat Bioshock 2 either?
No, I stopped as soon as you get the camera in the game, which I would imagine it's a couple hours in, but I imagine it's still fairly early on.
I don't remember.
Okay, but yeah, like...
It's not Bioshock Infinite.
Oh, God, I want Bioshock Infinite. But, but I mean, like, there's been a couple games when, like, I would have to come back to that game. I would think about it all day long. Like, the first Bioshock, the first Mass Effect, Portal 1, Portal 2, but not really because I beat it in 2 days. Again, yeah. I just kind of sat down and powered through that. But yeah, so Mortal Kombat, man, it's just like, every time I think I'm about to get burnt out on it, I don't. Like,
I'm burnt on it right now.
I feel like I should be burnt out, and as soon as I start thinking, I'm like, oh, I'm kind of burnt out, but at the same time, I'm like, yeah, but I want to keep playing.
All right.
So yeah, I can't get enough of it.
So, I think we've pretty much played the exact same games this past couple weeks.
I'm trying to think if I've played anything different than you.
Play Final Fantasy 13?
No.
Hey, I played a little more Final Fantasy 13.
We're talking about me, though, right now. I want to make sure
that... I think we just kind of combined the two, because...
I guess so, because we have been kind of playing the same kind of stuff.
Because the new games just came out, and we both played the new games.
All right, well, let's skip over 13, because you pretty much just play that every week.
Yeah.
And let's go into Portal 2 a little bit.
So hop in there.
So we both beat Portal 2's single player, but we both haven't touched Portal 2's multiplayer yet.
And we'll get into the reason why for that later, because I want to hop before, that'll be the good transition to the news.
Okay. Alright. Well, yeah, so, like, Portal 2 single player, I'm a devout fan of the original Portal, and I played through the original Portal the day before I bought Portal 2.
So can you tell people what Portal is, if they don't know? I think everyone knows.
I think everybody knows. I mean, it's from the guys that made Half-Life, Valve, and the original came out with the orange box, and it was kind of like a little, like, tester demo of a game. Kind of, not a demo, an experiment of a game.
Yeah.
It was only, like, 2 or 3 hours long. It had some really cool, unique mechanics
We're going to tell them, like, all right, the basic premise of Portal is you have a gun, and you shoot one portal, and then you shoot another portal somewhere else, and anything goes out through one comes out the other, and you're trying to solve a puzzle. It's pretty much the whole point of the entire game. Right?
Yeah. And, like, momentum and stuff like that, like how much momentum you bring into a portal, flinging out of a portal. But that gets into, like, the specifics of the gameplay and, like, things like that.
When we talk about portals, everyone knows, like, yeah, we're talking about those portals.
Yeah, like, two portals. You shoot one, you shoot another, you walk in one, you come out the other. That's like, the basic concept.
We'll talk about more about Portal 2. What do you think about the new gameplay that they add into it with the propulsion gel and the repulsion gel?
Yeah, there's a couple of gels that they add into the gameplay to kind of mix things up from just the kind of like, what portal do I go in, what portal do I come out kind of things. So the gels, like, they have, you kind of, like, shoot portals so when they fall, like, they have these, like, gel creators or launchers or things like that that are just kind of dripping on the ground. So when you put a portal on the ground, you can put a portal on the wall and it'll shoot out the wall and kind of coat the ground in this gel. And they give you different attributes when you're standing on them. One will make you run much faster and give you, like, better movement speed. And the other will jump much higher. And I got to say, and then there's another one, but that one's I'm not going to talk about.
It's not a spoiler. There's a white one where you coat it on. It allows you to make portals where normally you couldn't make portals.
Okay. I don't want to say too much more about that one because that one has some cool, interesting twists with it. But I gotta say, the repulsion gel, which is the thing where you, when you jump on it, it becomes kind of like a trampoline, and you just constantly bounce really high in the air, was easily my favorite. And I kind of got to points in the game when I just kind of stopped caring about the puzzle for a little bit as soon as I found out about the repulsion gel. And I just started shooting portals all over the room, coating the entire room with the blue repulsion gel. And I just started bouncing, like, made a big bouncy house. And it was just like, I would pick up a box and throw it, and it would bounce all around. And it was really fun. I think there's a trophy for catching a bouncing box.
Yeah, that's really hard.
Yeah, I tried it and was like, F that, I'll do it on my second playthrough. So I just really liked bouncing around. I know it was kind of silly, but it was really fun. The mechanics of it are pretty fun.
Yeah. How long do you think the game is? Like 6 hours?
I would say 8 hours.
Eight.
I think it took me around
on your first playthrough, probably.
Yeah. Like there's a lot of puzzles that you kind of like when you if you knew how to do it, you could probably kind of blaze through them, just like the first game.
And the story.
Yeah, but
I slowed down for a little bit when the Kate Johnson and GLaDOS are talking, so I don't skip past it.
Don't get too much into the story stuff. I don't want to spoil anything for people that haven't
played.
There's
a character named GLaDOS and a character named Kate Johnson. That's a spoiler.
I know, but you're saying that they're talking to each other.
I think you don't know what the word spoiler means.
I didn't watch very much about Portal 2 at all. I stayed away from all online talks about Portal 2. I purposefully put myself on a media blackout because I wanted everything about the game to surprise me and be interesting to me, because that was my experience with the first Portal. And I was really happy that I did that, because there's some really cool twists and turns with the storyline. And
well, the first one's really simplistic because you don't really know what's going on in the first one.
And it's a whole new game mechanic, and you don't know anything about the world or your character or anything like that. This one, you kind of come in with a little bit more knowledge from that first game.
And it is hilarious.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot in that game that made me laugh. There's some really funny stuff. So
recommend that too.
Yeah, that's a really fun one.
I would recommend buying on the PS3, because once you do that, you get the Steam version for the PC for free.
Yes, however, and I kind of want to talk about this right now, if you don't mind. We can get back to it. Yeah, but I know, but I'm just saying, so I bought it for the PS3. You bought it for the PS3.
Yes.
It came out on Tuesday.
Yes.
The 19th of April, so a little bit while ago now. But,
I also got it Tuesday. I installed it Tuesday.
I got it Tuesday, but I was busy playing Mortal Kombat, which I also got Tuesday. Sorry about that. Something happened. I had to jump for a second there, edit that out. But anyway, we were talking about picking up Portal 2 on Tuesday, the day it came out. And the reason Tuesday is so significant of a date is because if you bought Portal 2 on the PlayStation 3, inside was a voucher for a free version of that game on Steam. And all you had to do was sign into your PlayStation account.
Which I did.
Which I was like, oh, I'll just do that the next day, because I was more interested in jumping right into Mortal Kombat and not jumping into a story, because I was a little bit busier on Tuesday. But anyway, so I was like, all you have to do is sign into your PlayStation account, and then you can link that account to your Steam account or create a Steam account for your PC. And from there, you get a free copy of the PC version of Portal. And the cool thing is the PS3 has full Steam support, so you can play the PS3 version of the game with people who are playing through Steam on the PC. So kind of cross-platform play. You're unlocking trophies for the PS3 and Steam achievements for the PC, and you can chat with each other. So it's a really neat feature, and I was really excited to do that, except on Wednesday, and this is the big news, and we're going to talk about this more in depth in a little bit, because we still want to kind of talk about some stuff that we've been doing. But on Wednesday, the PlayStation 3 network as a whole worldwide went down due to a hacker's worldwide attack. Yeah, worldwide. Europe, Japan, not just America. The entire network went down. So you cannot sign into your PlayStation profile. So I cannot actually link my accounts. So I have a code for a free version of Portal 2 for my PC just sitting there, but I can't actually put it in because my accounts aren't linked. So I'm really bummed. And it's been down for over a week now. So
way past a week. It's Saturday or Sunday whenever this goes up? So it'll be a week and 4 days.
Yeah. So, and there's no indication of when it's going back up. So we don't know how long this is going to last.
Sony's actually holding a press conference.
We'll talk about that in the news. There's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. So, besides games, because literally it was just Portal and Mortal Kombat.
Well, no, there was SOCOM, which we both bought and hadn't played.
Yes, so that $150 bundle that we were both so excited for SOCOM 4, we both bought day one and cracked it open so we could mess around with our PlayStation Moves and our sharpshooters and have.
I pretty much just put the gun in and I mess around with the gun when I'm bored or watching TV. I'm like, boom, boom, boom.
I guess it's unfair for me to say that I haven't opened the case because I opened it and put it in just so I could update it so the game itself is updated.
Nope.
And then as soon as it was updated, I pulled it out because I was like, oh, I'll play this later. And
did anybody do that?
Oh, I did. Well, now the PlayStation Network's down, so any sort... And since that game is online-driven...
single-player stuff. I think I'll play with the Move controller.
Yeah, I definitely want to play with the Move controller single-player and check it out and see how accurate it is.
Yeah, I haven't played that at all.
Yeah, I haven't started that at all either, so that's pretty sad. We should crack into the single-player on that because... The multiplayer is going to be down however long the PlayStation Network's down. And I actually thought this was really interesting, and I wanted to talk about this for a minute. So, I feel extremely sorry for Zipper Interactive, which is the development guys that made...
I feel sorry for everyone affected by this hacker PlayStation attack.
Yeah, but think about this for a second. It takes at least, unless you're doing a movie game, at least 2 years to make a game. And with in terms of SOCOM 4, this was touted as one of Sony's big brands. It's been a while, that's been around since the PlayStation 2, and it has some brand name recognition.
It's a big multiplayer Move push thing.
Yeah, and it has always been considered an online focused game. Like this one does have a narrative focus.
Not just SOCOM, but Portal and Mortal Kombat on the PS3.
I know.
All of that can't be played.
I know, but still, to have a game that is known for its online multiplayer. And this has big online modes, it has online cooperative modes and stuff like that. And have this big push, and one day after your game releases, the entire network goes down. Because I don't, like, it's not as bad for Mortal Kombat and Portal, because Mortal Kombat and Portal came out on the 360, and Portal came out also on the PC. So there's other ways to play that online, and to have multiplayer experiences over the internet on those games. But SOCOM came out only for the PS3. It's a PS3 exclusive, and Sony was touting it as such. And to have the only platform you can play it on completely wipe out the multiplayer element of it, which is the main selling point of your game. And depending on how long the PlayStation Network's down, other big games are... There wasn't any real big releases this week, but other big games are slowly around the corner. Yeah, so if this stays down...
I think you might big multiplayer game is Brink.
Right. But I'm just thinking, like... How many sales are you going to lose? Because, like, that's your launch window. That's when you get people hyped and things like that. And there's even commercials on TV right now. I saw them this week on TV touting SOCOM 4, and it says the best online on the system and stuff like that. And I'm like, except there's no online.
Yep.
And so a lot of people seem to start knowing about this now because the PlayStation Network being down has been big in the news, like, not just gaming news, but, like...
No, it was on the Fox 5 news.
It was on Fox 5. It was on USA Today and, like, New York Times and, like... like, people are, like, I think I read on Kotaku that even U.S. Homeland Security is now interested in it because of people's personal information possibly getting hacked, and there's, like, over 70 million accounts. So that could be a big, you know, a big problem for Sony and for all the people, including me and you, that have our
personal information on my account.
Oh, well, I have my personal information on my account, including my debit card stuff like that, so I'm a little worried. So, yeah, it's really interesting to see what will happen there.
You still want to keep talking about this?
No. Because normally in the segment we also talk about TV and movies. And I didn't watch much TV, but I definitely want to talk about some movies that I've seen over the past couple weeks.
Okay, I think the TV section is kind of dying down because just telling everyone what happened this week.
Because the problem with TV is normally it's, you don't, every week watch new shows. You're just constantly watching the same shows. I know you're constantly branching.
One thing I want to talk about is the season finale of Top Shot Season 2.
Okay, well, you can just take over from here because I haven't seen any of this season of Top Shot.
So Top Shot's a competition where they have 16 shooters perform what's supposed to be the shoot, and if they don't do well, they get sent up to elimination by their teammates. That's how it's supposed to be. That is not how the season went at all. These three guys kind of make this little alliance. And on TV, they say, oh, we didn't really have to use the alliance at all. For someone I'm watching the show, know for a fact that they keep sending up people that didn't do worse than the challenges. Just people they didn't like. Go up for elimination. And they had this guy who wasn't in the military. Down to, like, the final six. He was a golf instructor. But he does constantly well. And he sent up to elimination, like, 3 or 4 times. And he wasn't the worst in the challenges that they did. So I'm really annoyed that those guys kind of cheated the integrity of Top Shot. Of trying to be the best shooter.
So what do you think the show can do to fix that? Because it seems like it's a popular show, so it'll probably be around for at least another season.
Already announced season 3, already picked these guys. And it wasn't just that golf instructor, too. They had this Navy guy on there, and the rest of the guys are Marines. So they didn't really like the Navy guy, so they keep sending him up.
So do you think it's just unfair the way that the elimination challenges are set up, kind of as a popularity contest?
The last season they did it by, okay, you didn't do well this challenge, you're going to go up for elimination. You fucked up this challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then they send up someone who did the second worst, or they didn't do that this season at all, where those guys kind of sent up the same people because they didn't like them.
But it didn't seem like that the show structured it any differently. It's just that these guys in
took
this
advantage
group,
of that. Yeah.
But yeah, but at the same time, I mean, that makes for, like, they can do that. That's within the rules and, you know, of the show. Like, the show doesn't seem to be.
I think it ruins the integrity of that. It's not like a Survivor where it's a popularity contest. It's supposed to be a, like, point system exhibition contest.
Right. Where, well, it is, again, a reality competition show. And the fact that it's causing this kind of drama is probably what they want for TV.
I don't know.
The little guy constantly go up to elimination.
Not only that, the finale is the guy named George, which is an Air Force sniper, which I hate him so much. So much. If he wasn't so much buffer and bigger than me, because the guy's ripped, punch his face out. Like, the amount of rage and hypocrisy this guy brings out in me, I'm just like,
well, the fact that he's buff and ripped and is well-versed with a gun, I think you don't have any competition. He threw it. Well, you probably shouldn't say too much about the finale. All right,
I'm talking about the finale.
Fine, whatever. Talk about the finale.
He straight up threw the competition.
How? I didn't see it.
So they have this whatever, like they play horse, like they pick a gun and a target and set how far away it is.
Mm-hmm.
So he did that, but his friend had 0 points, and he had 1 point. So he set up the biggest target with the easiest gun to shoot, the closest range, and just went, boom, I missed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just want to give him a point.
That's weird. I don't know. It seems like that show's kind of strange in terms of the way it's supposed to be competitive, but it doesn't sound like it's always competitive.
It is competitive if you just play straight, but they manipulated the system where they want to fight against their friends.
Again, I don't know why you're surprised that there's manipulation going on in a reality TV show.
Well, I thought they're military guys. I hired them to a higher standards of integrity.
That's all just a elaborate dream. Everyone's secretly dramatic like that, especially when they get in front of a camera. So are you done? Are you done ranting about Top Shot?
There's a couple other shows I want to talk about. That Chaos show on CBS about the CIA agent.
Yep, still haven't watched it.
Got canceled. Three episodes.
Awesome. Great.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. Even though you liked it, I still was never sold on it. I still thought it looked kind of dumb.
I'm just 3 episodes. You can't get anyone a shot like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't really care that much.
About TV?
Well, like, there's some TV I care about, but, like, I don't know, I have a hard time. I require a lot to sell me on a concept for a TV show.
Oh, more, it doesn't sell me a lot.
More than just, like, hey, look, it's a band of dudes and crazy hijinks in the CIA. Like, I don't know. Although, I must say, I was kind of excited for The Cape, but then after one episode, I was like, nope, fuck that show.
Yeah, I watched, like, 3 episodes of that, and I was like, ugh.
Oh, it took me one, and I was like, this show's horrible, and it got canceled. So.
Yep.
There was another show that got canceled. That one with the comedian. It was, like, named after himself.
The Paul Reiser show?
Yeah, the Paul Reiser.
Did that get canceled?
Yeah, it got canceled after, like, 2 episodes.
Dang.
Yeah, 2 episodes. Like, it was, like, the lowest rated, in terms of ratings, like, comedy that had ever premiered on NBC. And it got canceled right away. So, again, I turned that on for a few minutes and thought it was crap and turned it off. So, I don't know how you feel about that.
I like the guy, but I kind of pissed they took off Perfect Couples. So I thought that was a decent show.
It had to be better endings than that show.
Happy Endings is still going on, which I don't understand why.
Huh.
Not only is it going on, but it's going on back to back.
Well, it's hard to understand.
So, 2 episodes a week.
It's hard to understand why certain shows stay on and other shows get canceled because, I mean, who understands Middle America and all their.
I don't know. Did you see The Office?
Yeah.
You saw. Alright, so.
That is something I want to talk about.
Yeah, Michael Scott, last episode.
Yep, leaving The Office officially. He's done.
Yeah.
And he's gone after, what, 7 years?
Something like that.
Something like that, I think he said.
I feel really bad now because last season I hated the show so much. It was, nothing was funny, everything was awful.
Yeah, I was pretty down on last season too. I've been really enjoying this season.
Yeah, though. This season kind of brought it back, like it got funny again.
Yeah.
Bring back the jokes and the hijinks and less about Michael being like, no one likes me.
Yeah, and now that everybody knew, this whole season kind of had like this, it was all building up to this episode, where it was like everybody knew that Michael Scott was going to be leaving, and it was, how was he going to leave, when was he going to leave, what was going to be the circumstances
around. So what did you think about that, of how he left?
I thought it was cool. I think it's cool that he's leaving for love. I think that the person that he fell in love with seems right. Like, they seem like they have a really good chemistry between him and the girl. I don't remember her name.
It starts with an H.
I know that right now, in this episode and the previous 2 episodes, they've been bringing Will Ferrell in to kind of be his supposed replacement, but...
Which is not true.
It's not true, no. Yeah. Like, I've read online and that, like, he was only on for a couple episodes for a contract or whatever to kind of show up, and he's been amusing and kind of...
I don't really think he's all that amusing.
Really? I like Will Ferrell, like, in, like, what he's been doing on the show, like, kind of, like, that more calm...
I kind of like him. I don't really like his character.
No, his character's a jerk. Like...
So he has, like, one more episode, right? Like, the next episode's gonna be
long. He would have to, like, because you can't just cut him out now.
Because, no, like, he has one more episode for sure.
Yeah, and then he's probably gonna be gone, and then who's gonna replace him? I read online that Jim Carrey is gonna be somewhere in here, and I don't know if he would be a permanent replacement... But I love Jim Carrey.
I do love Jim Carrey. He hasn't done anything great in a while.
I haven't seen that last movie he did where he was gay. I heard that was good.
I couldn't get into it. I was kind of bored.
I mean, him and Ewan McGregor, I'm like,
Right. Combo team.
Right. Like, two men. That'd
be really great. I was just bored.
Well, I'll have to check it out. Like, that's a movie I was curious in seeing. I think it was called I Love You, Philip Morris.
It is called I Love You, Philip
Morris. And it was based on a true story, too.
I did not know that.
That makes it a little less boring, I guess.
No.
but there was a couple of really funny moments in the leaving of Michael Scott, and one that I was hoping for, and it happened, and it really paid off. And it was the fact that he addressed the camera and the camera crew and saying, like, he said, "Let me know when this airs," which I thought was hilarious.
There's a lot of stuff with the camera crew episode that was pretty funny, where they followed him in the bathroom.
Yeah, and then he's like, "You're filming people in the bathroom now?" And it was just like, because, like, it gets to the point where, like, what, the original concept was that they were, like, shooting some sort of documentary, and they were going into this office in Scranton, Ohio to,
A concept that kind of lost on me over the years.
Well, yeah, because eventually it just became a popular show, so they kind of abandoned that. But the thing was, the film crew, like, because they always look at the camera, a lot of the office jokes are, like, someone reacting to the camera, like, what? You know, but, like, the fact that they finally kind of admitted... They're like, yeah, this is a ridiculous amount of time that this has been filming. And he's like, let me know when it airs. And I just thought that was really funny. And then he takes out the mic out of his pocket, and he's like, oh, it's finally good to get this off. And when he takes it out, you can't actually hear him. And I just thought all that was really funny.
I like the all the goodbyes that he did. Those were pretty good. I like the Dwight one, where he finally is like, yep, he's my best friend.
Yeah, nice. That was nice that he had, like, an emotional goodbye, especially after they've been kind of fighting for the past couple episodes. So that was good. His relationship with Dwight has always been really interesting and kind of
giving
strained.
The top 10 clients to the worst salesman was a terrible idea.
I thought that was really funny.
That was an awful idea.
I actually laughed pretty good at that because he was giving people... The show sets it up really well because he kind of gives out a couple of really, like, homemade sentimental gifts to his first couple of employees. And you're thinking, oh, all of his gifts are going to be kind of a little tongue-in-cheek. Like, oh, here you go. And then all of a sudden, bam, he busts out... this top 10 clients and gives it to somebody in the room and goes, wait a minute, what the hell? And then all of a sudden, these crappy gifts that they got mean nothing anymore, and they're all pissed that they didn't get the clients. I thought that was pretty funny, especially since it went to Andy Bernard, and he was like, I guarantee you I will lose these.
Which he ended up didn't, losing.
No, he had a good payoff, too, and it also shows that Will Ferrell is a terrible salesman.
Yeah.
And that was... kind of funny, kind of like,
yeah, I think the next episode, he's going to go berserk and just straight up quit.
Yeah, that character obviously is imploding quickly. The obesity thing I didn't think was all that funny. They play a little bit around with him.
Speaking of Wolf, have you seen this thing on... You don't watch TV, but TBS, like, May something, he was going to go on the Conan show and shave off his beard.
Really?
Yeah, they call it, like, Beardpocalypse. He has a straight-up beard. He's like, I'm going to come after you, Conan. And he has a straight-edge rager. He's like, I'm going to shave that beard so good. And, like, I don't watch Conan on TBS because I have other things to watch.
I like Conan, but I don't watch like him on Conan TBS too, but I don't watch TV.
It's kind of out of the way.
And if I do watch TV, it's never TBS. But I'd be interested to see that. Will Ferrell's kind of hit or miss for me, but that sounds like it could be kind of funny.
I think Will Ferrell's always a hit for me.
Really? There's never been, like, parts where, like, you just aren't behind it. Like, some of Will Ferrell's stuff has just been, like, ugh to me.
Like example.
Kicking and Screaming, the movie where he was a kid's soccer coach.
I did not watch that because that's a kid movie.
It was kind of a kid movie, but it was kind of a Will Ferrell movie, too. Like, he tries to force his stick into, like...
To be honest, I kind of thought the last movie he did was Stranger Than Fiction.
Oh no, he's been in a bunch of stuff.
Oh,
he's been all over the place. But yeah, so that was that. I just kind of went off the rails there.
Yeah, any other TV shows you want to talk about?
No, I watched Community again.
Really good.
Downloaded Archer, but I haven't gotten around to watching that yet. I just kind of want to say, I kind of stopped watching In Treatment. I was, like, really into it for a while.
Me too. They even passed the first season.
Well, the first season's really long. The first season's, like, 40 episodes long. Yeah, that's, like, twice as long as a normal long season. So, I got, like, 22 episodes into the first season. I was about halfway through the first season. And it was just starting to wear on me a little bit. It's also an extremely depressing show.
Does it get more depressing later?
Oh, dude, it gets depressing. Like, it gets very, very depressing. And, like, for a while I was really into that when I was kind of, like, alone at night. I'm like, okay, I can get behind this. This is, like, an interesting story. These characters are really interesting. And it's a really well-made and well-acted show. But, like, after a while, I just kept going to bed, like, really sad, just going, like, oh, these people, oh, their problems, blah, blah, blah. And I kind of just got sick of it. I got
the thing to get you out of that mood.
What?
It's called HBO's Game of Thrones.
I know, I've heard all about this, and I want to see it.
But I want to talk about this real quick. So, HBO's new show, Game of Thrones, starring Sean Bean.
Mm-hmm.
Some of you may know as 006 from GoldenEye.
Some of you may know him as the guy that got killed by three arrows in Lord of the Rings, because that's how I recognize him.
He died in, like, the very first movie in Lord of the Rings, and he's been in every single Lord of the Rings since. But yeah, so basically, it's a... He owns part of this land. He's like, he's a lord.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you call those. Like a duke or something.
Or a lord.
Or Lord. Yeah, let's call him Lord.
I don't know. I haven't seen the show.
Yeah, but his king calls upon him to be his right-hand man because his right-hand man was killed.
Mm-hmm.
Slash, we find out in the very first episode he was murdered.
Oh, boy.
So someone's trying to take over the throne. We find out it's actually his wife.
And his brother trying to take over the throne. Oh,
but yeah, it's
son.
It's not super action-y, but it's a lot more like... medieval political, who's trying to kill the king. And makes
that,
you realize...
That could be really interesting. And
it's pretty interesting.
HBO has always been really good about that kind of stuff.
And there's titties.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Tons and tons of titties.
Don't sound too immature now, God.
Well, they handle it very maturely.
Oh, I'm sure. As you say, tons and tons of titties.
Tons of titties.
Yeah.
But it really sucks to be king back then, because everyone's trying to kill you, no matter if you're a good king. Because being a king, you piss someone off. Like, he apparently pretty much completed genocide on this entire race of people.
Well, he doesn't sound like a very good king, then.
Well, because, like, they're against the king, so being the king makes him sound, like, super evil.
Oh, that... Well, it kind of does sound super evil when you commit mass genocide against some other people.
Well, they're evil, too. But pretty much they're fighting over the kingdom. So, those people are trying to kill him. His wife's trying to kill him. Probably some other people are trying to kill him. And for all intents and purposes that we can tell so far, he's a pretty decent king. Like, his son's a dick, and he's really pissed off about that.
Oh, I'm so mad my son's a dick.
Well, like, his son's, like, a pompous prince that can get away with anything by lying. Like, he was... Like, his kids are fighting, and he's a commoner. And he kind of's like, fuck you, I'm the prince. And he pulls out his sword. He's like, fight me with a sword versus a stick.
Oh, man. It sounds like a really cool show, and everyone I know that's seen it has really liked it. Yeah. It's based off, like, this epic 10-book series or something
like
that.
It's based off a fantasy book called Something Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
You might have to wiki that, but like this Game of Thrones is the name of the first book.
Right. And so, I think the first episode is like the first 100 pages of the first book. Like it's literally, from what I've heard, it's like pretty ripped straight from the source material. Like, yeah, they've added a few little things here and there.
It's already been renewed for a second season.
Yeah, after like one episode. Like, it's really popular right off the bat.
Yeah, first season's going to be like 10 episodes. So that's going to cover the first book. And then I don't know how they're going to do...
I can't imagine they're going to do 10 seasons for 10 books.
I can see that. If it's 10 episodes each.
Maybe.
Do like every couple months. But the whole problem is how they can't call the Game of Thrones season 2.
Well, they probably will.
You will? You think so?
I bet. Like, they're probably not going to keep changing the name, because once people are like, I like Game of Thrones, you know, like...
Maybe they'll have Game of Thrones, and then underneath it, the name of the second book.
Possibly.
Like, chapters.
Or, like, season two just might be the second book, but...
Highly recommend that. Really, can't get enough of that. Like, if you like Lord of the Rings, other fantasy stuff, I'm trying to think of. Lord of the Rings, the only one that's coming to mind.
That's all right, I like Lord of the Rings.
All right.
I got super pumped about Lord of the Rings recently because I saw a video online. It was a behind the scenes, like 10-minute short documentary by Peter Jackson showing that the Hobbit just started filming, and he's kind of showing some of the sets and some of the actors.
Started filming. Avengers finally kicked off. Started filming that.
I saw that too. I didn't realize that was being directed by Joss Whedon. Was
strange director,
which is really awesome.
No, I like it, but like
he's really cool. Firefly.
Waited Dollhouse.
I didn't see Dollhouse.
I didn't like Dollhouse.
I wanted to see Dollhouse, but I never got around.
I don't really like the girl. I didn't like Buffy that much either.
Well, a lot of people like Buffy, though. Yeah. So it's like just your personal preference there. But either way, the dude's a pretty funny dude. Pretty talented director.
Things I also saw. I saw that Video Game Reunion on GameTrailers.com. Have you seen that?
No, I've been kind of avoiding it because it looked kind of stupid to me, but...
Stupid how so? It's silly.
I know that, like... Again, like, it takes a lot for me to watch something.
You watch, like, all the Hey Ash, what you've been doing.
Those are hilarious.
This is pretty funny.
Did you watch the latest one?
The Hey Ash? I haven't seen a lot of those.
Oh, they're pretty funny.
I saw the Left 4 Dead one after that. I was like, all right, I can see why people like this, and I just don't get back to it.
Just that, like, rapid, quick, like, minute and a half humor. That's normally, like, rather
both these
dark.
Series are on Game Trailers.
GameTrailers.com.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to talk a little bit about...
Mortal Kombat! Legacy.
No. Oh, God. Have you watched those?
I have watched all those. Those are pretty funny.
I haven't watched them yet.
Like, the first two are kind of very dramatic, and the third one's about Johnny Cage. Can't stop cracking up over Johnny Cage.
Love Johnny Cage.
Like, he's like... In this one, he's an actor, and it was kind of like... VH1's behind the scenes of, what happened to Johnny Cage?
That's great.
You see Johnny Cage is, like, down on his luck after being a Power Ranger. Just straight up Power Ranger in the show.
That's great. Oh, that's great.
So he's trying to pitch his idea of a new reality TV show where he's like Dog the Bounty Hunter, but he just goes up kicking people's ass. Criminals.
That's I don't know. A lot of people don't like Johnny Cage, but I find him to be
really
amusing.
He's really funny. Just like in the Legacy, he goes, "You just got Cage."
I think you might say that in the game.
He
too.
Does say that in the game.
So that's good on them.
Maybe he says that in all the games, which I don't really know because I wasn't huge in Mortal Kombat, but that whole phrase, like, he's got Cage.
I don't know, but I know Johnny Cage is one of my favorite characters to play in the game, so I'm excited to see that. I've been meaning to watch those, and for whatever reason, I haven't got around to watching them yet. I've been busy doing other stuff. But I finally started watching Twin Peaks. I don't remember if I mentioned that.
You did mention that last
time. Well, I got, like, one more episode into the season. I'm only, like, 3 episodes in. I really think you should watch it with me. I would just start back at episode 1. All right. I think it's really interesting, but, like, it's a show that, like, brings up a lot of questions and mysteries and things like that. And it's not that fun considering that this came out in 1990, that if I'm watching it by myself, if I talk to anybody who's seen it, they already know how everything plays out. Yeah. And so I want to watch it and, like, talk about it as it develops. And so I think you should watch it with me. I think you would... You would appreciate it. Yeah, sure. I find it really amusing. Although the end of the third episode literally kind of starts going off the crazy end, and I can start seeing that the show's going to get real weird real quick.
So let's get off TV, go back to movies.
Movies. I got all kinds of movies I want to talk to.
In theaters?
Did I see anything in theaters?
So you saw Hannah?
No, I don't think so.
I didn't see anything either. Like, I wanted to go see Fast Five, so I watched Fast and Furious and The Fast and Furious. And I watched Tokyo Drift.
Did you?
Yeah.
You really watch all those?
Yeah. Did not watch Too Fast, Too Furious, because that's an awful movie.
Yeah. All you know is that Ludacris is in it, and then he's back.
Ludacris wasn't
it? Yeah.
Ludacris isn't it.
Ludacris isn't it. That was the introduction to Ludacris in the Fast and the Furious universe. It was Too Fast, Too Furious, because he wasn't in the first one.
Wasn't it? I thought he was in the first one.
Pretty sure he wasn't. I don't know. You just watched it recently, didn't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he in the first one?
I thought he was. I just assumed that character was always there. And Taye Diggs isn't Too Fast, Too Furious. Do not like that guy.
Yeah. Yeah, because Too Fast, Too Furious was bad.
Yeah.
The only guy that's not in the new one, it seems like, is the driver from Tokyo Drift, which bums me out because he was really cool.
No, because he brought Hans in.
Right. Well, Hans cool, too.
Because Hans died in Tokyo Drift, so this is all set before that.
Oh. I wonder if this is going to somehow... Because we haven't seen the new Fast and Furious yet, so...
No, Fast 5 we want to, but...
Yeah, we really want to go see it. We're probably going to go see it this week sometime. Just haven't gotten around to seeing it yet.
Great movies. They're just highly entertaining.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've been hearing some really good things about Fast 5. A lot of people have been really up on it.
You haven't seen Fast and Furious, though.
I haven't seen the fourth one, no. I'll probably watch it this week, right before we go see Fast 5. Yeah. I'll probably check that out.
Because it picks up right after.
I heard that one was not very good, though. So I'm, like, kind of, like, down it's on
very,
it.
Eh.
Yeah, so...
I still love Tokyo. Like, the cars in Tokyo Drift the best. Like, the cars are pretty good in all the ones, but Tokyo Drift has the best.
I just remember having a big fondness for Tokyo Drift. And the first one was pretty cool, too. I remember not liking Too Fast and Furious, but I'll check out the fourth one, and then we'll go see the fifth one. But it's also got a really high Rotten Tomatoes for this franchise. It's in the 70s, I think.
The fifth one's a heist movie.
Yeah, which is cool, because I like heist movies. And I like car chases, and...
I just think it's weird, from, like, the very first one, it's more about street racing, and then he ended
Well, the first three were about street racing. I've heard that it's,
no. Not really. Like, well, the first one was about street racing. The third one was about street racing.
I don't really remember Too Fast, Too Furious very much, but there was street racing in it.
Very little street racing.
Well, you didn't watch it, so how do you remember?
I've seen it.
I know. I've heard it, and I know this sounds a little ridiculous, but I've heard that they're actually kind of setting it up in terms of, like, trilogies. Like, that, like, this Fast 5 is actually the middle piece to the new Fast and Furious trilogy. So apparently Fast and Furious, which was the fourth one to come out, was the first movie in this new, like, story arc.
Oh.
And so then Fast 5 is the second one, and that they already started production on Fast 6, because Fast 5 is doing really well, I guess. And normally I'd be really down on a franchise just kind of milking it like that, but at the same time, like, Vin Diesel hasn't done shit
besides... They're all no-brain necessary movies where he just kind of shows, like, explosion, race car, yeah!
Yeah, and I mean, like, Fast and Furious has pretty much become Paul Walker and Vin Diesel's career. So,
yeah,
those guys need money. Those guys need to work.
Vin Diesel has Riddick, if they want to do another one.
Also, what I was going to say was, this week or two coming up, I really want to go watch Pitch Black and Chronicles of Riddick, because I've never seen them.
I've never seen either one.
I've seen both of those. I don't know anything about the Riddick universe. So,
well, it's more like Pitch Black was a movie, and then they, like,
decided to make it into, like, a thing, and so they did Chronicles of Riddick, and then they stopped. And I know they did an anime,
too. I did not see that.
Animated movie that kind of continues the story on, from what I heard.
Wait, I think I did see that.
I want to check it out, though.
I think it was
something I always wanted to see and never got around to seeing, but I'm feeling like this is the week to do that.
Watch anything on Netflix?
Yes, okay. So, I want to talk about some movies that I did watch this week, and the week before, because this is kind of like covering a two-week span.
Sure. I'm trying to think of what I've watched, and... What did I watch?
I guess you get yours out of the way.
I watched The Lincoln Lawyer.
Oh, I've seen that.
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
I really liked it. I was surprising that, what's his name?
Matthew McConaughey.
Matthew McConaughey can act without a shirt on. Or with a shirt on.
Yeah, I thought he was pretty good in it.
Yeah, it took me forever to get the title.
The Lincoln Lawyer?
Yeah, it was a little shame.
Because he chills in the back of a Lincoln.
No, his office is in the Lincoln.
I just thought it because he chilled in the back of a Lincoln, so he's the Lincoln Lawyer.
No, like his office, because he got disbarred and he got his license back, but he doesn't have an office yet.
So he's in the Lincoln.
Yeah, he's the Lincoln Lawyer because his office is in the Lincoln, and you can only meet him in the Lincoln.
Oh, I actually didn't read that much into that. I didn't realize.
Yeah,
because that actually makes it even better because, yeah, like, Matthew McConaughey actually has a lot of charisma and he works as kind of a cocky lawyer. I like.
It's nice to see him outside of a romantic comedy.
Yeah.
Refreshing, actually.
And he was good in it, and the movie as a whole was pretty sweet.
I think we can talk about the movie. It's almost out of theaters.
I don't want to spoil everything about it. I want to say that Ryan Phillippe was really interesting in that movie as kind of like the maybe good, maybe bad guy. And William H. Macy's always good. I like him and everything he does.
His hair
is out of control.
Like, he can do anything with his hair. It can be super short, it can be bald, he can have a mustache.
Yeah. I think right now it's all kind of crazy straggly because he's doing some show on Showtime where he's like a hippie.
Oh, or Shameless. Something like that. I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I think he kept his hair like that because, like, that's how it is for the show that he's doing. Okay, but, so I want to get to the movies that I saw that I've been wanting to talk about.
Well, I wasn't done with Lincoln Lawyer.
Well, Lincoln Lawyer is still in theaters. Go see it.
I think you can only see it in Suncoast because that's where I saw it at.
I don't know. If it's out of theaters, wait till it comes out on DVD. It doesn't really have to be one where you have to rush out to the movie theater to see it. No. But it's a good crime drama.
I enjoyed it.
It's good.
Reaffirms my belief that motorcycle gangs are badass, and it's always nice to have them in your back.
Reaffirms my belief that Matthew McConaughey should be in more films. I know that some people are really down on Matthew McConaughey, but I really like him.
Josh Lucas, surprisingly mild role in that, too.
Josh Lucas.
He was the prosecutor.
Prosecutor. I'm trying to remember. The name sounds really familiar.
Who Josh Lucas is?
Yes.
Did you see Poseidon?
Poseidon.
With Dennis Quaid?
No, I didn't.
What's that one where he's a basketball coach?
I don't know, because I don't know who he is.
He's in other stuff. He's fairly famous.
Oh, yes, never mind. I do know who you're talking about. Okay.
What movie did you just think of him in?
I just remembered his face in The Lincoln Lawyer. I was trying to remember the prosecutor's face. Yeah, that guy's cool. I like him, too. I don't remember what else he was in.
I have to look that up, because he's in something more famous and more recent that everyone knows him from.
But I want to talk about a few older movies, because that one's still current and new, and people can go see that. So, in my film class this week, we watched 2001 A Space Odyssey.
And did not recommend... Well, he was in, American Psycho? Apparently he's also in A Beautiful Mind, don't remember that.
You're killing me here with the fact-checking. You're slowing this all down to a crawl. Anyway, I want to get back to my point.
Oh, he was doing Telltale.
Yes, he was the main guy in Telltale.
Yeah, that's where you know him from.
That was a cool movie. Okay, all right. Are you ready to talk about 2001 A Space Odyssey? Because I've been ready to talk about 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Oh, he was the main guy in Stealth.
Who gives two shits about Stealth? That was a horrible
movie. My cousins.
Shut up. All right, no
more
IMDb.
It was a very brief role and Secondhand Lions.
No more IMDb. I'm cutting you off. I'm about to close it.
All right, don't close it. It's my show notes.
All right. But yeah, so 2001 A Space Odyssey. See, I've been waiting to talk to you about this because for a long time it's considered a classic of the sci-fi genre, both a genre that we both like.
Oh, I hate it.
And you saw it a while before I did, and I remember hearing from you that you hated it.
Yeah.
And since then, I've watched it, and I watched it like a couple weeks back, and then we watched it again in my film class, and we got to discuss it. And I've kind of come to terms with the fact that I kind of love that movie.
Love it? Really?
Yeah, I am really big on 2001 A Space Odyssey. So that's why I know that you hate it. And we never really talked about it because I hadn't seen it at the time when you saw it. So I wanted to ask you what you have against it.
The ending.
Yeah, but once you kind of discuss it and look at it, it actually is really interesting.
I don't want to discuss it and look at it. It should make sense right off the bat.
That's disgusting. That kind of point of view is horrible.
I'm sorry, I spent a lot of time in that movie and being interested in those characters, and the ending was so crazy and ridiculous that I didn't get it at all.
Okay.
Like, it wasn't like a subtle ending. It wasn't like, hey, this is a crazy ending. It was like, it's a weird ending.
Right, and so at the time, when I first watched it, which was a little while ago, I was like, I didn't get it either. And I was like, but it intrigued me. It didn't completely turn me off.
Oh, it didn't intrigue me at all.
Because I'm kind of into, like, open-ended stuff. Like, I don't always like just being told everything that happened and being nice and tidy and this is how it ends, blah, 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 this is how you should feel about it. And I felt like I wasn't sure how I should feel about the ending. So I went online and I read this big, long article about the movie that was written by Roger Ebert.
I'm not a fan of those kind of movies that if you have to do a lot of research to get, I think it's the job of the director to kind of, like, leave the audience satisfied to know, like, okay, I like that.
I feel like there's a difference, though, between, like, an entertainment-based film, something like, oh, I don't know, like the A-Team or something like that, where it's just like, or a Fast Five, where you know it's not going to leave open-ended questions at the end for you to go ponder and research and discuss with people. It's going to end a specific way, and like you, you will be satisfied or unsatisfied, but probably satisfied, with how it all kind of sums up. But see, I also like those open-ended ones where you kind of think about it and you're not sure how to feel about it and you talk with people and then you go back and rewatch it and look for little things and think about it. And like those, I wouldn't say necessarily, like I wouldn't call 2001 A Space Odyssey like an entertainment movie, but more like an art movie kind of thing.
Sure, like, I can go with you with the art aspect.
Yeah, and like it was interesting just kind of like, because you can't have a discussion about a movie that is so, like, vacuum.
Old?
No. Like, dude, that movie is, like, one of the more current movies that we've watched in my film class. Like, we went all the way back to, like, the 1930s in that class. So I've kind of gotten over my prejudice against old movies. Like, I used to hate them. And I've been watching so many old movies now in school that I've just kind of gotten used to it. Shit, my phone's going off.
Yeah, let's ruin this podcast.
I'm just going to...
No, it's ruined. Let's stop the entire podcast and I'll start over.
No, we don't.
Okay.
So anyway, if you really don't want to talk about 2001 A Space Odyssey, I wasn't, like... I'm a little disappointed that you're 70s. So close-minded to it.
I'm not close-minded. I really don't like the ending.
It's yeah, but you're close-minded because you don't want to look it up. You don't want to have any sort of... Like, there's explanations out there.
I don't want to know the explanation. I want to be entertaining, and it wasn't entertaining. It was just really weird.
See, like... Not every...
good sci-fi movie that has that kind of open-ended thing, go see Solaris. With George Clooney.
I don't think that there is going to be a better sci-fi movie than 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Wow.
Like, it's considered a classic for a reason. Wow. Like, film scholars and critics...
The ball's on you.
No, I'm in the agreement here with the majority of people who see this. But I'll go check out Solaris. You've been telling me to go check out Solaris.
Yeah, I really like Solaris. That's good.
I also watched a movie called Super.
I have also seen Super.
Yeah.
With Ryan.
That's fairly Wilson current, too. And... Rain Wilson.
Is it Rain Wilson?
Yeah, the guy that plays Dwight in The Office. And Ellen he was Page. Also in a movie called The Rocker. And then Ellen Page, yeah, from Juno and Inception and all her
and
other movies.
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, Kevin Bacon's in there, too. From Kevin Bacon.
Yep. Starring Kevin Bacon.
So, again, another movie that I really, really liked. And
I don't know how I feel about that movie. It is a strange, strange, strange film.
See, like, it is kind of strange, but it's not that strange to me, honestly.
Like, I think towards the end, it gets like, what?
Well, like, not really. Like, it doesn't leave, like, those open-end questions like we were talking about in 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Maybe like, it just got crazy. Like, in a crazy direction I wasn't expecting that movie to go in.
Okay, like, you had kind of warned me, and I had seen a little bit online and heard a little bit online that movie does get extremely violent and kind of over the top. Maybe not over the top, maybe that's not the right word, but just, like, kind of go in some bizarre directions that you don't really expect it to. And so I kind of knew that going in, so I was prepared for it. But I felt like that movie, while watching it, was everything that I expected out of Kick-Ass and didn't get. Like, I did not like the film adaptation of Kick-Ass that much.
I didn't like that either. And I didn't read the comp, though, either.
And see, the thing was, I was super excited for Kick-Ass, so I bought the graphic novel. And the graphic novel was really violent and really dark and didn't have, like, a happy ending. It was kind of like this, like, grim thing. And then they really Hollywooded it up and like made it much happier in the movie.
Let's tell the audience a little about Super.
All right, so Rain Wilson, being kind of like the down and out everyman that he kind of plays, he loses his wife to Kevin Bacon, who's kind of like this thuggy kind of drug dealer. Yeah, eccentric drug dealer. And he gets really down on himself. And he kind of looks for outlets to, like, kind of take his mind off things. And he starts looking to God, which was, like, a place the movie I didn't really expect it to go. Like, he starts watching the All Jesus Network.
What was it? The Holy Avenger by Nathan Fillion.
Nathan Fillion plays the Holy Avenger on the All Jesus Network. And he looks to him and he kind of is inspired by this Jesus Christ superhero.
Which is, like, what was it? Like, he was fighting this demon. But it was, like, making all the kids, like, don't have premarital sex, everyone.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's, like, really cheesy, like, Christian, like, superhero show or whatever. And so, like, he looks to that, and he decides that he wants to be a superhero and fight evil. Very similar to kind of like a Kick-Ass, in terms of, like, he wants to be the everyman, except he wants to load up and be kind of like a mass vigilante and fight crime. And eventually...
The way he approaches how to do this is hilarious, because he doesn't know what to do, so he kind of just hides out in alleyways.
Yeah.
And then he goes to a college, like, I am a student. Where do I buy crack?
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like cheesy, like, I don't know, like, I found that to be kind of entertaining. The funny thing is, though, is, like, he turns out to be a very violent superhero. He chooses his main weapon. He kind of has, like, this little thing where he goes to a comic book store, and he's looking...
Ellen Page plays that comic book store...
Clerk. Yeah, she's, like, the salesperson at the comic book store.
Which I was actually laughing at a lot of those parts where he goes in and asks, like, what are superheroes that don't have superpowers? And it goes... Batman has the utility belt stuff, Green Arrow, and then he goes Captain America because he has a shield. It's just wait. He has Super Soldier. He's a superhero.
Yeah,
those little nerdy stuff that I liked.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, so he ends up choosing his main weapon as a wrench.
Yep, a monkey wrench.
Yeah, a monkey wrench, and he just starts beating people over the head with a monkey wrench and in the face, and. It's very violent and very excessive, and the things he beats people up with, like he catches like child molesters and like I guess I don't want to get too spoilery into the movie because like this happens like over.
I don't think a lot of people
time.
Are gonna watch this movie.
No, it's kind of like a indie movie, and it's not really out in a lot of places, so it might be kind of hard to find. But like once it comes out on DVD, it'll probably
or
be
Netflix
a bigger hit. It seems like a cult favorite, like kind of film.
The thing that threw me off, Ellen Page's character. You kind of like her at first, and then she goes crazy really fast.
Yeah. Like
really, really fast. Like, it was a little disturbing how crazy she went.
I don't think she went super crazy.
Are you joking?
I thought she was an interesting character.
You like the crazy chicks then, because holy crap, did she went balls to the wall crazy.
Like, I thought she was entertaining. Like, she goes in places that
she almost killed a guy for someone supposedly keyed her friend car.
Yeah.
She didn't even know that that person keyed the car.
Well, I thought that was kind of funny because, I mean, like, here she is. She, like, looks to all these comic book superheroes and she kind of idolizes them and she has, like, all this pent-up, like, feeling and she's so bored she doesn't know how to express it. So as soon as she becomes, like, this, like, superhero sidekick, she can just start, like, violently attacking
people. Yeah,
and
then
she
got, like, Wolverine claws and she started stabbing a dude.
Yeah. I thought that was really funny. It's kind of, like, dark humor, like...
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I also like, what was it? Crimson Bullet was the guy's name?
Crimson Bolt.
Yeah. I really like his, shut up crime.
Yeah, that's his tagline. Shut up crime. Which is actually pretty funny in and of itself. So yeah, that's probably enough about that movie. But anyway, I thought that was a really interesting...
I don't know if I can recommend that.
I would say watch out because there's a lot of violence in it and that it's kind of strange. But I would recommend, if you liked Kick-Ass, I think this takes that kind of concept and pushes it even farther and in stranger directions that you might not anticipate.
All I do with Kick-Ass.
I feel like it is kind of similar to Kick-Ass. Like, I don't know, I liked it a lot more than Kick-Ass, though. I actually liked it quite a bit.
I don't like Kick-Ass at all. I think that's pretty much all I watched this week. Lincoln Lawyer, which I liked.
Other than that, I watched a really cool movie called Yojimbo last night, which is a film that was shot in 1961.
Is it on Netflix still?
It's on Netflix, yeah. Okay. So you can check this out on Netflix, and I'd highly recommend it.
Really?
It's all in Japanese, but it's English subtitles. It's not dubbed. It's English subtitles. And it's considered a classic.
I think it just lost half our audience there.
but still, like, it's totally cool. All the films that we watch at school are with subtitles anyway, so I'm kind of used to reading subtitles now. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like, I was really into it. And it's about this wandering samurai. Like, the movie starts, the opening credits, he's just kind of wandering through, like, this dusky kind of field. He doesn't really know where he's going. He kind of throws a stick. Like, he kind of finds the stick, he throws it up in the air, and when the stick lands, it points in a certain direction, so he just starts walking that direction, which I thought was kind of cool. Like, he's just kind of this wandering, lost samurai looking for a purpose. And he stumbles into this town. He wanders into this town that is being divided in half by two bosses. Because one guy owned the land around the town and that the town was on, and he wanted to pass the land down to his son. He kind of ran the town, and people were okay with him. but he wanted to pass the land down to his son when he dies, and his right-hand man, who had been with him the whole time, felt like he deserved to have the land instead of his son, because the son is kind of arrogant and stupid. And so the right-hand man splits from the guy that owns the land and creates a big gang. And so the town is divided in two by these two leaders who both build up big gangs. And the whole town is pretty much shut down by the violence between these two. And it's kind of this tug-of-war struggle, like, mm-hmm. who's going to take the town? So when the wandering samurai walks into town, he kind of sees this, and he decides that he can make a lot of money off of this, which I thought was really funny, because he's like, he's a samurai and he lives by a code of honor, but he's also kind of like this lovable guy who's looking to try to make the most money he can out of the situation. And so he's like, well, they can hire me as a mercenary. And he's like, and I'm a better warrior than any of the guys in these gangs that they've hired. So he goes and knocks on one of the side's doors, and it's funny because they literally just live at the opposite sides of this old western kind of town that's only probably like 10 buildings long. So he walks down to one, and he's like, knocks on the door, and he's like, hey, look, I know you guys are fighting. I want to show you why you should hire me. He's like, come outside and watch. And so the whole gang walks outside, and then he walks down to the other side of the town, knocks on their door, and he's like, hey, come out here. And they're like, who the hell do you think you are? And he's like, I think you're all a pansies. And so they all walk out, and they're like, those are fighting words. We should kill you, blah, blah, blah. We're crooked criminals, blah, blah, blah. You should be afraid of us. And he goes, watch this. And he kills three of them, like, really easily. And then he walks away, and then he walks back to the other side, and he's like, see, I told you should hire me. And then he goes and stays at a little bar in the middle of town, and they both are like, this guy's amazing. He can win for us. And so they start bidding on him. Like, they're, like, throwing money and girls and women at him. And it's just this funny, it's kind of like violent and dark, but at the same time it's also kind of comic, because it's this tug of war battle, who's going to win? And secretly he has the best intentions at heart, and he knows that both sides are corrupt, and he wants to kill both sides, and so he's trying to turn them against each other. And it's not that long of a movie. It's like an hour 50, and it's like, I know it's shot in the 60s, it's black and white, it's in subtitles, so there's a lot of things that'll turn people off, but it's really good. And I really enjoyed it. I had to write a paper on it.
I saw Gangs of New York.
I haven't seen that. I really want to see that.
Netflix. Really long movie.
Is it?
I'm not sure how I feel about that movie.
Really? Because I've heard good things.
I like everything that happens in the movie, but it gets to a certain point where I'm like, okay, this seems like a very bad idea. I don't know why they're doing this. And, like, I'm trying to think of that guy's name.
Leonardo DiCaprio?
No, the other guy.
The guy that was in There Will Be Blood?
Yes.
Daniel Day-Lewis?
Yes. Fantastic in this movie.
Yeah, I heard he was really cool. Really,
really good.
Really menacing.
Blew me away of how great he was.
Maybe I'll have to check it out.
It's a really long movie.
That's the thing, though. Like, it's a Scorsese-directed movie, and I love Martin Scorsese as a director, but all of his movies are so goddamn long. The dude does not know the meaning of brevity.
No.
Like,
there's like
every also, movie I've seen of his like seems
like
it's really long.
At all.
Really? Like, she could be, I didn't even realize she was in that movie.
She's the girl.
Oh. It's another one of those DiCaprio Scorsese joints. They've been in a bunch now.
Yeah.
So it was what? Gangs of New York, The Aviator,
Shutter
The Departed, Island. And Shutter Island. That's four movies where it's like Leonardo DiCaprio and Scorsese.
Yeah.
So, but I like Leonardo DiCaprio. I think he's a pretty good actor. So.
I think that's it. Like, it's hard to keep track of stuff you've watched for a whole entire week.
Yeah, that's all the movies I was really excited to talk about. I'm looking forward to watching a couple. I made it a plan to watch Jaws this week because I have to watch it and write about it for my class. And I've never seen Jaws.
Oh, you've never seen Jaws?
Which is, I found out, is Steven Spielberg's first movie, so I'm curious to see that. I know it's kind of like a classic blockbuster kind of movie. And then, like I said, I want to watch the Riddick movies if I get a chance. I downloaded this movie called Synecdoche, New York, which is supposed to be kind of like this crazy movie that's supposed to be like really sad and depressing, but at the same time kind of like mind-blowing. I don't know, people seem to like really love or hate that movie. I'm really curious to watch it and get an opinion on it.
So let's go what's coming out this week. Like we mentioned earlier, Fast Five came out this Friday.
Yep.
This Friday? Like
29th? Yeah, it came out on the 29th.
Dylan Dog came out too. I don't know how I feel about that movie.
I have not seen a trailer for it. I've only seen the movie poster.
I've seen a ton of trailers for it on TV.
Really?
I watch TV more than you do.
I don't know. Brandon Routh is kind of a weird actor.
It's getting mediocre reviews on the internet.
Yeah, I read that it's supposed to be kind of like this, like, kind of campy, culty
Like Campy and Culty.
I don't know. It doesn't really look like anything good to me. No. It looks kind of silly.
Hoodwink 2 came out.
That looks horrible.
Yep.
I really despise that movie even got made.
Prom came out.
I don't know anything about that movie.
High school girls had to talk about prom. High school guys were like, ugh, prom.
There that sounds like a prom movie to me. Yeah, there sounds you go. Like my prom experience.
So
that's about all that's
on movies, but next week,
only one I'm really interested is Fast Five.
I don't know if we'll probably record before Thor comes out, because that comes out May 6th.
Yeah, I really want to see Thor.
We'll probably see that at midnight, so that'll be the Friday, and we'll record that Friday too, so we can't tell you about it. Unless we talk about it, and then we come back and record just, hey, here's the thoughts on Thor we just saw.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes.
I might do that.
And you were kind of surprised that I turned so...
Yeah, what happened? Because last time we talked about Thor, you were like, ugh.
Okay, so when I saw the first trailer for Thor, I was super underwhelmed. And I thought that Asgard, which is kind of like the city of the gods and stuff like that, looked really cheesy and hokey. And everybody wearing their big shiny armor looked kind of strange and out of place. And I don't know, I was just really down on the movie as a whole. And I don't really know why. Like just the way it was like shot and lit and like the scenes that they were showing in the trailers just looked really goofy and kind of bad to me. But apparently, and like I haven't seen it yet, so I don't know for sure, but apparently it's getting really good reviews, and people are saying it's really great, and the special effects are really good. And so I'm thinking, since then I've seen another trailer, and it looks better now, and I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm like, I feel like maybe it was just a bad trailer that didn't do the movie justice.
Like
I
know sometimes that's happened. Green Lantern?
Yeah, like the first Green Lantern trailer was pretty bad, and it got me down on that movie, and then the second trailer was amazing.
I'm thinking they just fired that first studio who ever made those trailers, and hired a new one.
Yeah, because like... those trailers made me watch it and go, oh, this movie's not going to be very good. I don't know if I want to watch it. And since then, once I realized, Thor's got like a 90-something on Rotten Tomatoes. Like, out of like 50 critics, people are really saying that that is a good movie. See?
Now that's me ruining the podcast now.
I yeah, that's both of our cell phones going off now. This is so unprofessional.
I forget that people like me.
Nobody likes you.
I forget people call me on my phone. There you go.
There you go. That's more accurate. So I don't know. I'm like... People who have seen screenings that I know said that it was really good.
Did you ever get invited for a screening for that?
No.
Like, that's a shame.
Yeah, all my screening invitations have gone down dramatically.
Yeah, I've noticed that.
It's because the school year's almost over, though. So, like, what's the point of inviting me to a screening to write something if I'm not going to be at school writing? So.
Also coming out May 6th is Something Borrowed, that romantic comedy with... I think it's Kate Hudson, dude from The Office, and chick from House. All names escape me.
Heard about that, and that's it. I don't know. I should probably watch more romantic comedies. It'll probably make me feel better.
It might make you feel worse how bad some of them are.
True. I don't know. Sometimes you just need a feel-good movie, though, because I watch a lot of really depressing movies, and then it kills my worldview.
There was that one with Kate Hudson, which was with Paul Rudd and Owen Wilson.
Oh, God. That did not look very good, though.
It wasn't very good. But we were like Paul Rudd and Owen Wilson.
How do you know? I think it was what it was called.
I think was that Kate Hudson? I don't think it was Kate Hudson.
No, it wasn't Kate Hudson. It was some other girl that's only ever in romantic comedies.
Blonde hair. Sure it was Kate Hudson? No, it was Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, Reese Witherspoon.
Man, took me forever to get. But something else coming out May 6th is Everything Must Go.
Yeah, Will Ferrell movie. But it doesn't look like kind of like the over-the-top Will Ferrell. It looks more like... Stranger Than Fiction Will Ferrell.
So far what we gather this trailer is this guy is getting a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and his wife moved all his stuff out in his lawn, and he decides to have a yard sale, but he's also just living there at the same time, right?
Yeah, he's just living on the lawn, and he's having a yard sale to kind of justify him being there, and he's trying to sell all of his stuff, but at the same time he's just living on the lawn. Like, he's like shaving and bathing and like... sleeping on
the lawn.
It's
supposed to be a movie about like how you don't really need things in your life and all you really need is yourself to be happy and stuff.
Yeah, and like letting go of things. I don't know. It looks kind of cool. I'm really excited to see that movie. I like seeing Will Ferrell when he's more grounded and less ecstatic and over the top and trying really hard to make people laugh.
Also coming out next week is a... It's going to sound super racy, but it's not my fault. Jumping the Broom.
I got invited to a screening to that, and I turned it down because I saw that the entire starring cast of that movie is black, and I was like, no thanks.
Yeah, well, it seems really racy thing to say, but those movies are dedicated for those black audience.
You don't know what the word racy means.
Racist.
Yeah, racy means sexy.
No, I know racy means. Did I say racy?
Yeah, like, you're saying this is going to sound really racy.
I'm pretty sure I said racist, but I just
came No, you said racy.
Oh.
Yeah.
I meant to say racist.
Yeah. I'm not racist or anything, but those movies are not for me. I know who those movies are for, and they're not for me. And when I saw that,
they don't even try to hide it either.
No, and that's fine because there's movies that are made for me that I'm sure a lot of black people don't really like or anything like that, or just doesn't connect.
Well, took the movie you like and made it to a black movie.
Yeah, Death at a Funeral.
Yeah,
yeah. They took a British comedy that I liked and made it into a black comedy, which again, that's fine. Two completely different audiences.
That movie you talked about last week, The Beaver, is coming out May 6th.
Yeah, that one's pretty good. It's a little weird. Goes in some unexpected directions. Kind of dark. But I like Mel Gibson, despite him being kind of an ass.
I am indifferent for Mel Gibson. Video games coming out this week. Outland coming out on the PS3, which I think is weird.
If the network goes back up, then yeah.
MotorStorm Apocalypse coming out with move support, 3D.
There's no way it has move support. It's a driving game.
I'm pretty sure it has move support.
I'm pretty sure it doesn't have move support.
Okay, well,
it definitely has 3D. I know it has 3D. That game looks fun. I thought about getting it.
I'm not going to get it. I'm not really into
that. I thought about getting it, but then I realized I've never liked the MotorStorm games in terms of like their car handling.
Nope.
They're pretty to look at.
Under Siege coming out on PlayStation Network. No idea what that game's about.
Nope.
Maybe I'll check it out. I think there's a quick look on Giant Bomb that I was thinking about checking out. Also, the Thor God of Thunder game coming out on Xbox 360,
PS3,
DS,
Wii.
I don't think it's coming out on the Wii.
Wow, I don't know. Those games normally just come out on everything.
Skipped over the Wii. You want to talk about that now? You want to talk about next week? You just want to like,
There's going to be a new Wii out sometime in 2012. They're going to show it in June at E3, and everyone's...
Doesn't have, like, an official name, though? Like,
it doesn't have... Oh, That's the what's the name? Like, the code name
for
the
system.
The code name is Project Cafe, but that's not the final name. Okay. Kind of like the code name for the Wii before it came out was the Revolution, to kind of get people interested, but they changed it to the Wii. So it won't come out. It might just be Wii 2, who knows.
So it can't be Wii 2, because that would be Wii II. So it'll just be Wii!
Well, you could just have Wii and then the number 2. Kind of like the PlayStation 2. It's not like PlayStation...
Well, no, because it's II for 2. So it'll be
that's Roman numerals.
Yeah, with WIIII.
No, you could just have the number 2. Wii. You're just being dumb. yeah, so not much is known about that. It's all speculation right now.
Yeah.
I'm really interested to see what it turns out to be because they're saying that there's going to be a touchscreen element to the controller.
Yeah, we can talk about the controller. It's going to be like a... like kind of like a PlayStation controller. It's going to have... like
analog sticks and buttons, but it's also going to have a touchscreen in it. Maybe in the middle, maybe somewhere else. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting. They said that you can actually... again, this is all speculation, but they're going to show it at...
I think we're just going to talk about this more.
At E3 in June, yeah. So we'll know everything, hard facts then. All we know is that Nintendo confirmed that there is going to be a new system coming out next year, and they're going to show it in June.
This game's not coming out until 2 weeks, but I want to talk about Brink real quick. I just want to know if you know anything about it, because I really don't know anything about Brink.
I've watched a couple things on it.
It's not coming out until 10th, so we can talk about this more in next podcast, and maybe be more prepared.
I'm really excited about that game. I'm actually really excited about that game. It's made by Bethesda, and they make good stuff. It's a first-person shooter, but it's got like free-running elements to it that are kind of like Mirror's Edge. You can traverse the environment, climb up things, slide around. It's got a really stylized art style to it.
I don't know if I'll buy it because it got SOCOM, and I haven't played that at all. I don't think I can handle two multiplayer games at the same time.
Well, I mean, yeah, but SOCOM's a third-person tactical military shooter, and Brink looks like a fast-paced first-person traversal game.
I wonder if they have move support.
I hope everything has move support, because now that I have a move, I want to use it. So, and I have a sharpshooter, too, to put it in, so I want to use that, too. I can use it for Killzone.
Yeah. I think we're running down the clock here, because...
Yeah, I'm getting tired.
Really? Dude, it's like 9:30.
I know. I have to drive to the airport pretty soon.
That doesn't make any sense for anyone else besides you, but...
It like means that there's a person flying in that I have to pick up from the airport.
There is something I want to talk about. What? Darkness 2.
What about it?
They released some news, some screens that looks pretty good, but you can use forearms now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not see any of this. Yeah, this is news to me.
Kotaku this couple days, but yeah, it looks really good so far.
Well, the first Darkness was really good, so...
I would say really good.
I would. Like, it was really interesting, had a cool story, cool characters, had cool powers. Yeah. Maybe the game as a whole wasn't, like, as polished as it could be, because it was kind of like a new IP.
Also, the multiplayer was awful.
Well, yeah, that was just really functioning. No, that multiplayer in that game was so laggy, like so bad, like. But that was just kind of like tacked on multiplayer. But the single player experience was really awesome.
Yeah, I think that's it for this week's Junkcast.
Yeah, I can't think of anything else.
Yeah, join us again next week where we're going to talk about Thor for sure.
Yeah,
and
hopefully have seen it by then. So
we should have.
Yeah, at least have seen Fast Five and we can give our opinions on that. So yeah, I'm excited to talk about that.
Email us at junkcast@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, Braindead Space Junkies. I got that right. I changed that.
We're the Space Junkies now?
No, Braindead and then Space Junkies, because last time I said Braindead Junkies and you said you couldn't find it.
Well, yeah, but I think you shouldn't say Braindead Space Junkies because then people will search for the word Space Junkies.
That's true. So, Braindead Junkies on Facebook.
I thought it was just obvious that there was going to be a space in between.
Dude, I made it at like 4 o'clock at night. Give me a break here.
All right.
Check us out on iTunes. Hopefully, I'll have that all set up by next week.
You said that last time.
I did not say that last time on air.
Well, you said it to me last time.
I did say it to you in private last time.
So, you're going to have to get on that because I'm excited to get on iTunes and have our voices heard.
Yes, so... I should come up with a sign-off. I haven't come up with a sign-off yet.
All right. Well, by the time we get on iTunes...
Don't get hooked!
No, that's horrible.
He's been caged.
No, that's copyrighted.
Get over here!
No, again, you got to get your mind out of Mortal Kombat. Oh, my God. So
Think more portals.
You have a week to think about this and come up with something that's not a blatant ripoff. So, in the meantime, while you struggle to think of anything original, I'm going to push the stop button... And end this travesty.
Travesty?
This masterpiece.
Masterpiece, there we go.
For another week, and we'll be back. So, catch you guys later. Thanks for listening.